It was nothing less than a plot. A plot to trap Jesus. And the plot was to be carried out by two totally unlikely parties. The Pharisees, we know. The Pharisees, these Jewish religious zealots who despised anything about Rome, especially the Roman government and her leaders. The Pharisees couldn't stand them. And they were joined with the Herodians. Now, the Herodians, also a Jewish group, but they loved Herod. The Herodians believed that they could accomplish what they needed to by being an ally and a friend of Rome. And so these two opposing religious groups came together and listened to the plot. Matthew 22, verse 15. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap Jesus in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. "Teacher," they said, "we know that you're a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay that imperial tax to Caesar or not?" The trap. Regardless of what Jesus said, he was going to be caught. If he said, yes, pay the tax, Jesus loses all credibility with the Pharisees. Jesus is trying to build relationship with the Pharisees and point them to God and away from the law. And if he says, pay the tax, they say, oh, he loves Rome. Oh, Jesus is pro-government. No way is he a spiritual Messiah. But if Jesus says, no, don't pay the tax, well, that was grounds for treason. And truly, the Herodians and others would say, see, he is trying to start a political revolution. Either way, Jesus loses. It was a plot indeed. But listen to what Jesus said, verse 18. But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, "You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax." They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, "Whose image is on it? And whose inscription?" "Caesar," they replied. And Jesus said, "Then give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God's." "You hypocrites," he called them. "Look at the coin." The coin had the picture of the Roman Emperor Tiberius Caesar, and Jesus said, "Pay your tax." It's his coin, it's his picture, this is his rule, it's his land. Pay to Caesar what is due to Caesar, and give to God, and God alone, what God deserves. God deserves your loyalty, your trust, your obedience. God deserves your service, your honor, your love. God is God and not Caesar. Verse 22, and when they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. Jesus' message, as recorded in Matthew 22, is simply this to those that day: you are citizens of two worlds, of two realms. Rome is your country, like it or not, and God's kingdom, your ultimate honor, your ultimate home and supreme allegiance. Give to God what is God's, and give to Caesar what is Caesar. Guess what? That's the same message for us today. And the church, and as Christians, we often fall right into that trap. Now our worlds of government, politic, and church and faith, they at times crash, and at times they oppose each other. But I also believe there is a healthy tension, and tension's good. I'm not afraid of tension. I'm glad for rubber bands, for tension that happens. And a healthy tension often gives us the right perspective. There are definitely those who love this nation and love what this nation stands for. And I think every one of us should be counted as those. And in this day, in this church, on a Sunday, July 4th, all of us also love God. So how do we blend these together? How do we express our love of God and love of country? It's never easier or harder to speak on than when July 4th comes on Sunday. Because some want July 4th Sunday to be July 4th God and country. And usually on Sundays, we work pretty hard to make Sundays about God. So how do we deal with this tension? And I think there are at least two tensions that we as Americans and as Christians deal with. One is patriotism versus piety, or maybe I would say love of country and love of God, that tension. You see, I love my country. This morning at 6:05, I was out at 1707 Copeland putting up my flag. And how does that hole hide? It was just out on Flag Day and Memorial Day, but that little hole, where is it at 6 o'clock? There's the blue spot. Go back there. I found it, though. And I put my flag, and when I left to come to the church about 7:15, the wind was blowing, and that star-spangled banner thrills my soul. I did a funeral 2 weeks ago, a Korean and Vietnam veteran. When those officers from Fort Hood knelt down and gave that flag that had been draped on that casket and said those words on behalf of a grateful nation. I've heard it many a time, and it still just sends chills. Tonight, I will watch PBS, Washington, 4th of July at the Capitol, and I encourage you to, and if you can watch it without shedding a tear, I don't know how. Freedom. Today is a day when we celebrate our freedom. Our nation is not perfect. We know that. But it is still the greatest nation around. Paul wrote to Romans 13 that we as believers, at least those in Rome, in Romans, those believers, Paul said, you support your civic leaders. You support those civil authorities. You abide by the structures given by government, and you pray for your leaders. Some years later, times had changed, and John in Revelation 13 said, and watch out, because sometimes those leaders and those rulers are nuts, and they will lead you totally opposite to the ways of God. And at times, you just need to run, duck, and cover. See that tension? So how can I love my country and be committed to the Lord Jesus Christ without compromising or bleeding the two together, because they're two different things? Hear me. The text that Jesus said, give to Caesar what is his and give to God. Love of country and love of God are not the same. All Americans are not Christians, and all Christians are not Americans, and all Christians are not even in your particular political party. Jesus didn't die on the cross for America. God so loved the world. Jesus died for all. God bless America, yes. And God bless the world. And there are places in our world that truly long for God's blessing. Hear me, God loves The Muslim and the Methodist, the agnostic and the assembly, the Buddhist and even the Baptist. God loves those who sign Republican and those who sign Democrat. God loves those who believe in the new Green Deal and those who support the oil and gas industry. God loves the pacifist and the activist. God loves the world. And we don't get to choose who God loves. Remember the plot. They wanted to trap Jesus. Jesus said, "You hypocrites, give to government, give to Caesar, and give to God." There's that tension that we live in. I think there's another tension, and that is the separation of church and state, or maybe we use the words, the separation of religion and government. Our wise founding fathers, most of them not Christian, most of them deists, but our fathers, they gave each of us a protection of our God-given right to religion. I read in the paper yesterday where some of our attorneys on the courthouse square joined with other attorneys across the nation reading the Declaration of Independence. Others this weekend have read the Constitution. I hope someone reads those 16 words of the First Amendment: Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. That's what I was trying to tell the kids, that we get to do that because we live here and we have full religious liberty and freedom. Thomas Jefferson said the separation of church and state is the best way to accomplish this democracy. A free church and a free government, that's what makes America great. And I have spent my pastoral years of 33 years concerned, and never any more so than in the last 10, 15 years, I've concerned. I think we must be aware of religious zeal and coercive power. Religious zeal, and that was Constantine. Let's make them all Christians. Let's force them to all be Christians. Look what we can do if government and church are all together. It wasn't such a great deal. As followers of Jesus Christ, we must share the gospel, but we don't need to shove it. We need to share it unapologetically. We can't forget our history. Separation of church and state, it's who we are as a nation. Government and church are always better when neither side tries to do the job of the other. Now, there are times when we cooperate, church and state. You know, if there's a disaster anywhere in Texas or the Arklatex, anywhere around, communities, city leaders, state leaders, you know who they call? They call Texas Baptist Men. Often they call Texas Baptist Men to feed before they ever call the Red Cross or the Salvation Army, because Texas Baptists have figured out a good way to go and to reach and to feed thousands of people in the midst of a hurricane, a flood, or a disaster. Texas Baptist Men don't take any government money. They don't take the money, and therefore they're able to pray right there for those people with their needs. They're able to share with those folks the love in the presence of Christ. So there are definitely times in church and state where we can work together and we can cooperate. But we have to always beware. We have to always beware that one doesn't try to control the other. America is not and has never been a Christian nation. We're not. Now, we're a nation made up of many Christians, and shame on us because there aren't near as many Christians, it seems, as there used to be. But that's a church problem. That's not a national problem. This nation was built and founded for religious freedom for all. Not just religious toleration, but liberty. And the reason I think Baptists have been so strong, especially to to promote religious liberty. Is Baptist what it was to be persecuted? In the colonies, Baptists were imprisoned and beaten because they were Baptist, because they chose to baptize in a different way that the government colonies didn't think was appropriate, and because they worshiped in ways and the Puritans didn't like it, and suddenly they had come over here for this religious freedom, and now it was only free if you did it like they told you. Baptists have not forgotten their history, and maybe we should be reminded as well. Benjamin Franklin, I'd love to have a conversation with him. What a wise man said this: "I judge the difference between a good religion and a bad religion. The bad one needs the government to prop it up. A good one has God." July 4th, 2021. Oh, First Baptist Church, we are citizens of two kingdoms, just like when Jesus shared with these. And I think our call is clear. We are called to be responsible citizens of this nation, responsible citizens and faithful disciples. A dual call indeed. So how do we do it? How do we maintain responsible citizenship and faithful discipleship? I think we begin by praying for our nation and praying for our churches. If we would stop complaining and spend more time praying, we might be amazed on how things might look a bit different in our world. I think the Bible is clear. We must pray. If the church, if believers are not praying, then who is? We have a mandate. We know the power of prayer. Now be careful in thinking that your will is always what God's will is. Someone said, "Well, I prayed and the other candidate won." Well, just keep praying. We are called to pray for our nation and to pray for our churches. I think also we do responsible citizenship and faithful discipleship by boldly following your convictions. Now, I don't have to really tell y'all that because y'all do that really well. Engage in the process. If you need to petition, petition. If you're not writing your representatives, you should. Join a peaceful protest. Go and march. Be informed. And yes, vote. Boldly follow your conviction. Not the conviction of this one or that. You know who you are. Listen, I'm going to probably get in trouble for this, but Sid Roberts and Ed Domain, both men are here today. Sid and Ed are both physicians in our community. Sid and Ed are both members of First Baptist Church Lufkin for a long time. Sid and Ed are both deacons at First Baptist Church Lufkin. Sid and Ed are both involved in the music ministry of this church and have been for years. Sid and Ed probably voted for two different people in the last presidential election. You think so? I'm not a betting man, but if I was, I'd bet they might. So one may have a poster or a flag in his yard, and another one may write an editorial, two or three or four, in the paper. But I thank God for Sid and Ed that we worship together, and they may even be in the same section of the sanctuary even today. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? We don't all have to think alike or believe. And some of you are really nervous that I may call you out next, but I'm not going to. I'm going to stop there. Isn't that what the church is about? We are people of convictions, and our convictions may change, but we are brothers and sisters in Christ, responsible citizenship, faithful discipleship, and most of all, and I'm done, we're called to share the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, if I was speaking to the Rotary Club, I might talk about the heritage of our nation. If I was speaking to the Lions Club, I might talk about the political, like Trent Ashby would, to our community. But I'm talking to the church. And as the church, may we never lose sight that God's command to us was to love God and love each other. That God's command to us was to go forth and make disciples of Christ. Yes, follow your conviction. Yes, vote. Yes, but don't lose sight, oh believer, of sharing the gospel. Being the light. Those in the churches of Galatia, they were really messed up. Paul said in Galatians 5, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm. Do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Paul said in that same chapter, verse 13, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. I tell you, walk by the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against these things, there is no law. We're going to eat a hot dog, and I'm going to watch the fireworks, and I'm going to put on my shorts. Several folks asked why I didn't wear shorts today, because I knew my legs would so overwhelm you that you wouldn't be able to concentrate. I love this day. I love this day of freedom. And as a believer, I love to tell the story. And that's what we're called to do. We're going to sing that. I love to tell the story. Yes, the story of our country is a great story. Our story is a story that we need to make sure our kids know. But I also want our kids and our grandkids to know the story of Jesus and his love. Look at the coin. Don't fall into the trap. Give to God what is God's, and to Caesar what is Caesar. Give to this church and the state. And as Christians, let us pray and let us share that story. Would you stand?